In the last few weeks alone, there have been dozens of deliberately set fires in the Montreal area, with several tied to organized crime. What's driving this wave of arsons and arsons in general, of which there have been hundreds so far this year? In many cases, competition and extortion. I'm Dave Breckenridge, and this is 10-3. Montreal Gazette reporter Renee Broomer joins me to discuss who the target of these arsons are, what organized crime groups are potentially behind them, and whether police fear the potential for increased violence this summer. Don't forget, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music. I'd love it if you could leave us a rating, a review, and tell your friends about the show. So Renee, Montreal and Laval have seen a string of alarming crimes of late involving arsons. How many fires have you seen deliberately set in the last month alone?
Yeah, it was actually that the period I was looking at was even almost less. It was closer to half a month, and we counted up, we sort of tallied over 50 fires, and just in cars set on fire, and then there was another five businesses set on fire between May 1st and around May 18th of this month.
And you say cars, are we talking about individual like cars out on the street, or are we talking cars at a car dealership? Are these mostly businesses who were affected here?
Yeah, a bit of everything, actually. The big one that happened most recently was at, they weren't even actually dealerships. There was like one area where cars were stored before they were set to be shipped overseas for sale. And I think close to 20 or 24 were hit at that one spot, which was quite a large conflagration compared to others. And then I think just 2 kilometers away in the same night, about just around 2 hours away, another 10 cars were set on fire. And this was at a sort of garage. And but often it's at residences. Often it's in front of people's homes or in their driveways or parked on the car near people's homes. So we're seeing a mix of everything.
Mm-hmm. And while I know that, you know, arsons are particularly scary, fire can be unpredictable. And you know, for the most part, it sounds like we're talking about property damage. But has anyone been hurt or killed so far?
Yeah, not so far, actually, amazingly, considering how many we've had. But no, there has been cases, though, where it's, you know, it comes close to, if they're set in driveways, it comes close to setting the house on fire. And so, but we haven't had any injuries or deaths yet this year linked to the fires.
Well, that's certainly a relief, I imagine, not for the people whose property is victim to the fire, but at least in this, at least one bit of solace can be taken that no one's been hurt or killed. When we talk about these fires, are we talking about one-offs that they're happening at one location once, or have any locations been hit more than once?
Yeah, there's a few locations that have been hit more than once. I guess one of the ones I looked into was a place called the New LaSalle Pizza Restaurant, I believe, in a municipality called LaSalle inside Montreal. And it got hit twice in 2 days. And basically, it seems the first night they were unsuccessful. And so they came back a second night and rammed a car through the front entrance, I guess, so to be able to throw accelerant through the front window. And then they were very successful. The restaurant sustained heavy damages. And unfortunately, it was a fairly newly owned restaurant. And apparently, it was in the same location. There was another business in that location last year, but they closed up because they got firebombed. So there's something about that location that is attracting firebombing, unfortunately.
Wow. And I mean, you and I were talking briefly before we started recording, and one of the things you were saying is, you know, every day there seems to be another fire, and, you know, you do your routine checks with the police as journalists do, and we have more like 3 fires overnight, and you think to yourself, this isn't normal. So, I mean, you have to think that these are coordinated, and maybe they are, maybe they're not, but what are the going theories about what's behind them? What are experts in the field saying?
Yeah, so that was interesting because, as you say, you know, when at least here in Montreal, where we have a fairly robust organized crime scene and gang scene, you know, your mind immediately goes to extortion. And, you know, so according to one expert I spoke to, she said there's a couple things going on, perhaps going on. One is it's often competition based, whereas somebody, they're sort of sending a signal. They say, look, you're encroaching on our territory. You're in a sort of business area that we want to control. And she says often the businesses, you know, look like legitimate businesses, and you know, perhaps they are for the most part, but they are owned by members of organized crime or so, and so they know who to target if they want to send a message, or largely just say, you know, this is I don't know, our pizza sales area, and we've controlled this for a long time. The other possibility is extortion, where these businesses are being told you need to pay us a certain amount of money every month or you're going to have issues. And I mean, that's been recorded, you know, and we've had owners who have said outright, we are being pressed for money. But then there was somebody else who noted that, you know, of the many fires we've had this month, only a couple dozen or so have been directly, or the police have said, we know this is organized crime, you know, and that's out of, like, we're talking, sorry, for this year, we're talking, there've been close to 220 criminally set fires already in Montreal. And sorry, that's going back to mid-May. So it's more than that now. But only about 40 say were linked to organized crime. And he was interesting. And he said, he looked into a US study of, you know, criminally set fires. And they found that maybe in 50% of cases, it was more a case of interpersonal issues. You know, you've got a problem with your boss or issues with your ex-wife. And so it's often the revenge fires where you're upset about something and so set somebody's house or car on fire. In other cases, too, it's vandalism, a smaller percentage of cases, vandalism. We saw a couple of these fires were like in abandoned school buses in Montreal. So obviously that, you know, just out in the lot. So that looks like more like young people getting up to no good. So there's a variety of, you know, it's not exactly sure. It's like, it doesn't seem to be the case that all of these fires are necessarily the mafia, you know, going after one another or something like that. There's there can be a whole slew of different reasons that they're going on.
Yeah. And you also hear stories. I know sometimes it's more common in TV shows or movies where someone will burn a failing business down and try and collect on insurance money or something like that. Is there any talk about those kind of things, that they're fraud cases or something like that?
Yeah. Of course that idea comes up, and Montreal is also an area with a lot of sort of aging buildings or businesses. And the supposition is that, you know, it'd be quicker to burn it down so that I can get insurance money and restart. According to this, the study he looked at out of the United States, so he said that insurance fraud only accounted for about 6% of all the criminally set fires that they saw. So it was a relatively small percentage. You know, like I said, it was 53% was revenge. Vandalism was 12%. Pyromania was 10%. But insurance fraud only about 6%.
We'll be right back. As mentioned, you know, Montreal known in by many Canadians for having various organized crime groups operating locally, including the Italian mafia or outlaw motorcycle gangs. Do we know, when you look at the ones that are tied to organized crime, is it groups like that? Are there other organized crime groups that are involved in Montreal that may be taking some of the blame here?
Yeah, well, actually, interesting. La Presse actually did a sort of study over the last month, I think mostly through April, and they counted at least 10 mafia-related businesses, like businesses or residences that were linked to high-ranking members of the mafia here in town, that were targeted either by fires or some form of vandalism or gunshots. You know, shots were taken at the house. And that was linked to just maybe 3 or 4 members of the mafia. And so in that case, you know, we know that it's definitely linked to them. And that seems to be interpersonal conflict that's going on, you know, that obviously somebody's having a beef or they're fighting for control. At the same time, you know, mafia, they don't like attention a lot of the time, right? Because attention brings more police presence, and more police presence means that their revenues go down. So they're normally pretty good about being discreet. But we are seeing, like, there was another case of a place in Laval, which is a large municipality just north of Montreal. It was a Lebanese restaurant that got hit 4 times in, I think, the space of a year. It was firebombed. And there the police actually had a press conference and said, no, we're setting up a special squad of different police forces. And in that case, they said it's Lebanese organized crime that's involved and sort of forcing companies to pay extortion protection money. And some companies were either refusing or so, and then they were getting targeted. So there's a variety of groups. And of course, we have a, you know, a pretty active biker gang scene here too. And so they might be involved. The interesting thing, though, is it's a bit hard to tell because the people setting the fires are often very young, 18-year-olds. We're seeing 20-year-olds, and often they don't even know why they're setting the fires. Like the organized crime groups, the well-organized ones, are good about sort of keeping at arm's length so that it can't be tracked back to them, which makes it, you know, harder for police and media to trace as well.
And what are these business owners saying? Have you spoken to any of these business owners about concerns that they have around either protection money or extortion? Do they have a feeling like we can't pay this and this is just something we have to kind of deal with or adapt to, like this danger out there?
Yeah, it's difficult. Part of the difficulty is they're very hesitant to speak out, right? Because they're worried or go to the police. You know, the police say, please, if you're getting targeted, come to us. But they're sort of worried. It's like, well, what can the police do? You know, I'll go to them. I might get into more trouble. In some cases, you know, they're not only targeted at home, but they might be targeted. Their family might be targeted back in Lebanon, for instance, or, you know, in their home countries. And so because the communities are, say, relatively small and you know, they know each other. And so there's a lot of fear. So, yeah, that's basically the issue, is that often these people don't want to go to police because they worry it's just going to exacerbate issues or, you know, the police can't do very much with people running, you know, kids running up to their premises at 2 o'clock in the morning and throwing a Molotov cocktail through the window. So it's difficult, and they don't want to speak to media about it either, for obvious reasons.
From the police perspective, you mentioned that they're trying to set up this task force to deal with some of these things. The police chief has spoken out about it. They're saying, you know, call the police if you're being targeted. But what else are police saying about this? Obviously, this is pretty alarming in these communities where this is happening. Firebombs just aren't like a regular occurrence for most Canadians. So what is the police chief saying about these crimes?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it goes mostly, we can't do much without communication. We can't do much without you, right? So please, please do come forward. Also set up whatever security protocols you can do, cameras and, you know, sort of, and we'll try to, the police said they'll try to increase patrols. And the other thing is basically that, you know, all the media, it doesn't look very good, obviously, right? Of all these poor businesses are being set on fire repeatedly. And so that, I think, has had an effect. And the police have started up a new squad, basically, that incorporates Laval Police, Montreal Police, and the Sûreté du Québec to try and, gather forces and go against it. And I would say we're still seeing fires, but it hasn't tapered off exactly, but it's gotten a bit less than what we're seeing. Because it was getting, as I say, ridiculous with, you know, 2 to 4 fires every weekend or every night sort of thing. And that seems to have been, you know, there's definitely more focus on it. So that's one of the things the police have been doing.
Mm-hmm. And given that, as mentioned, some of these incidents, even though it's a smaller percentage of them, are related to organized crime groups and potentially competition between them, is there concern about retaliation with more fires or even worse actions like shootings? Like, I know the other day, and I'm not saying it's linked to the fires, but there was the daughter-in-law of a mafia boss killed in Quebec. Like, these groups use violence as retribution. Are there concerns among police, among the community, that eventually someone's going to die here?
Well, where there's smoke, there's fire, and where there's fire, you know, there's a lot of danger, obviously. And as you mentioned, that was a very peculiar case about this poor woman, Claudia Iacono, being targeted, but also just so out of the ordinary for, you know, I think they said it was a first in Quebec that we've seen a female relation being targeted. To the point where they think it might have been more an interpersonal issue, either within the family itself or between two families. You know, we don't know, but even between two families, that's not normally done. So, but there's definitely a sense of, let's say, disquiet among the families that compete here in Montreal, and that's why we're seeing all these businesses of theirs get targeted as well. And we see it at funeral homes for some reason. They seem to have things, restaurants. So, you know, as one expert is saying, it's like it's going to be a hot summer in Montreal coming forward, because this just seems to be ramping up, and it's a difficult, can be a very difficult problem to cut down on, especially when you have these underlings who are just, you know, they get paid a couple hundred bucks to go out, or they get paid in drugs, you know, or they use people with drug problems and say, here, I'll supply you some drugs tonight if you go out and do this, you know. So it's tough to fight.
Now, among the dozens of fires in the last little bit, have anyone been arrested? Like, are there people on the loose who are involved in this sort of thing that are free to set other fires, or have police been able to lay any charges here?
They have made, I think, as I mentioned, there's about 220 so far this year, actually that was earlier in May, than more since, and they've made, I think, roughly 34 arrests linked to them. Again, as I say, they tend to be underlings who don't know much about what's going on, but at least, you know, some of those underlings have been taken off the street. Unfortunately, I feel like it's a never ending supply, right? Like, there's a lot of kids who can be targeted to go out and do this kind of work, or people who want to move up, you know, within the organization, and things like that. So yeah, there's some is being done, and the police are obviously taking it quite seriously now, and then they're quite concerned. As they say, though, it's like we're getting the underlings, but really what we want are the big fish, because the big fish are the ones who are most responsible for this, but they also know to protect themselves quite well. And so, again, if we're seeing dissension in the mafia families, like that, you know, that sort of escalates. And as you said, it often, as we've seen in Montreal, it escalates into gunfire. You know, this woman who was gunned down, her father-in-law was executed in Mexico. And it was 3 years to the date, that was 10 years ago, but that was 3 years to the date that Nicola Rizzuto, who was one of the former heads of the mafia in Montreal, was executed himself. And so they said there was definitely a message there. So, you know, when there's problems between the families, there's definitely a more violence going on in Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly a fascinating, but also scary story. Renee, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
10-3 is produced by Tyler Dawson, theme music by Bryce Hall. Thanks to my guest, Renee Broomer. More from him at MontrealGazette.com. I'm Dave Breckenridge. Thanks for listening.